Welcome to Black Dog Diaries, a collection of six conversations about depression between people who have had depression. We aren't experts in the field, nor are we offering medical advice. We're simply sharing our own experiences as we manage depression and our mental health. We hope to illustrate that you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, to remind you that you're not alone in your mental health struggles, and to leave you with some great things to do to look after your mental health. Please watch out for naughty language and dark subjects. In episode 3 of 6, we talked to Jess Vaughan about her full breakdown 4 years ago, going to therapy and taking meds, and being a high-functioning, obsessive, and controlling depressive. Jess is 31 and lives with her husband and 18-month-old daughter. She tells me that she's a strategic urban planner, and also that no one knows what the fuck that is. Enjoy our chat with Jess.
Ooh. Like, you can tell if Craig's in a bad mood, you'll know, right?
Yes. But I think Craig just tells you he's in a bad mood as well.
Yeah. Well, apparently you do too, but it's just on your face, written on your face.
Yeah. Bitch face.
It's resting bitch face. You're welcome.
Yeah. So does... we won't mention that. We won't mention
no, we're not talking
about... We weren't other bitch people yet.
Hi, Jess. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, we're going to get into depression, because this is what this whole thing is about. I actually looked last mental health day, or maybe 2 mental health days ago, we did something for it. I think it was just putting tips, top tips for mental health. Mm. And I found an email that you'd sent.
Years ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Saying that. Anyways, so I knew this about you.
Yeah.
I reached out and I said, would you mind talking about it? And I gave you a few pointers to think about because people don't want to come in with a blank sheet and then record. No. You sent back... the longest WhatsApp message I've ever received.
I know, you're welcome.
The essay.
It made me feel good about myself. Like, there's some... It was deep. It went long. Yeah. So I want to talk about that.
Okay.
When you were writing that out...
Yeah.
Was that just at the top of your head?
Yeah, it is. Because I have been going to therapy for my depression for the last 3 years. Okay. So I've been coached a lot to talk about it. So it's become something that I kind of maybe reel off, but I also am very self-aware, whereas I feel like other people in their journey might not be. So if you ask me like, why are you depressed or like, what's wrong with you? I can pretty much be like, da-da, here you go. This is my reason why, and this is how it affects me. Because I have to talk about it a lot.
How long did it take you to get to that point?
To get to therapy?
No, have you always been self-aware, first of all?
Yeah, like how did you get to the point of being self-aware?
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I've had depression since I was like young, teenage years, and I think I've always struggled with it. I used to call it this dark blanket over me, and I was put on, I think, medication at like 17, 18 that really didn't agree with me, and it was a real big struggle. And I kind of then distanced myself and just carried on. So then it came to a certain point about 3 or 4 years ago where I had a big life event. My boyfriend actually just broke up with me randomly out of the blue. And it sounds like a really menial thing, but it rocked my entire world and I didn't see it coming. And I think then every guard that I'd put up and every self-protection mode that I'd put up, I just lost it. And that's when I had what I consider had a full breakdown. And that's when I started to do therapy.
How long ago was that?
About 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so since then I started to do... I basically stopped going to work and I stopped functioning. I stopped going out. And
at this time?
At this time, 4 years ago. But before that, I think I had very regular waves of depression and anxiety. Actually, it's really interesting because I still go to therapy. So I was with my therapist on Tuesday and I told her that I was coming to this podcast to talk about it. And I asked her to define me, and then she asked me to define me because that's what doctors do. They just counteract the question. Yeah. You know, classic therapy.
I'll give you that answer.
How do you feel about that? So I think we were in agreement about how we would define my depression. And from what she said, it was a halfway house between depression and anxiety. So I had a bit of a turbulent childhood. It wasn't very stable. Mm. She actually calls it like not abusive, but I think it just had a lot of elements that weren't very typical. And I had a lot of things to deal with at like an early age, which kind of made me have this kind of high functioning depression where I may have been feeling a certain way, but I would put up a barrier and a mask and carry on. And I've still been, it's not like it's affected me. I've been quite successful. I went to uni, did masters, had a good job, and everything seems to be like perfect. But there's this perfectionism that comes out of my depression where I have to have everything perfect in a row. Like, my house is spotless. It's disgusting. It's just, it's so out of ridiculous. And it's this thing that if I don't control and make everything perfect in my life, something bad is going to happen to me. So it's taking this control out of situations that were happening around me as a kid, and having this ridiculous control over things to make sure that I was the best at something, and that I looked the best, and that I was being the best at things, and that everything around me looked good. And if I could solve all of those things around me, then I would be okay. And obviously that is just not the truth about anything in this world. And that's what I think leads me to these up and down moments where the pressure on myself gets just so strong.
I was going to say that must be so much pressure. It's to really try to a make lot. Everything perfect.
And then I break. And that's, I think, this cyclical way. I think it's also linked a little bit hormonal-wise as well. I think I struggle with that. But I'd say it happens every like 2 months. And if I'm not on a handle of it, it's something that's quite regular and quite destructive.
What does breaking sort of look like for you? Like, what do you mean by when you say breaking?
I get very obsessive. For instance, this weekend is a prime example that my husband just was staring at me being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I got up in the morning and I didn't feel great. And I think there'd been a lot of pressure with work and I was very tired, and it was the weekend. And I noticed that, I think it was the top of the cabinets wasn't clean. And
dear so God.
There I get on my stool and I'm obsessively cleaning the top of the cabinets. Then I move the fridge out, the oven comes out, the dishwasher comes out. He takes everyone, like the kid and the dog, out for a walk, being like, your mum's gone mental. We just need to everyone
you
take
don't
a
need
step
to see
back.
This, Pip.
And yeah, exactly. And then I kind of regulate myself through that, through this cleaning or organizing or making sure that everything is, I mean, not everything's in a row, but like, I know there's a drawer at home that's started to get a bit messy.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, but it, in my mind, that is something that's contributing to a breakdown. So yeah, that's how it used to be. And I think that's probably what made this relationship that ended break, because it was unrecognized. And
I was going to ask
hard
you that,
work.
But I wonder if it was unrecognized. Like, you might have unrecognized,
I think
it,
I knew something was happening.
I wonder what he was seeing from the other side.
He was a very laid back man.
Right.
He probably went along with it. And I think me and my ways and the way that I was doing things, I think that it was just very destructive. And I don't think he wants to live like that anymore, which is fair enough, because it was bad.
I one of the things that I struggle with, I don't struggle, but the thought of it is, it's not me with my depression. Obviously that's one thing, or the way that I'm feeling. It's actually how other people have to take my depression.
It's
also,
it's a big load, because you know, it you're really, being a nightmare.
Yeah
And I'm always aware, and I think that is like, you're having a moment, but you're also aware that someone else is having to experience that with you. And
you're trying to look after yourself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're having to deal
and
with
it. And my husband deals with it now.
Along.
I was lucky that I've had a lot of therapy, so we could I can articulate it to him. And he kind of does not understand, but he understands what might be happening. But he still struggles with it. And
do you feel guilty?
Always.
Yeah.
I wish I could take everything back. And I wish that I could be better with him and not put this pressure on him to kind of like put up with me in a way.
It's like, continue to accept it, because every time because I'm similar, and you just think every time you do something, whether you mean it or not, it's still chipping away at that trust or the
and
you
I
know,
feel like he might love me a little bit less every time that I have this thing, and I'm so sorry about it, but I feel like you can never take it back. I wish I could. Sometimes I say to him, I wish I could take those words or those actions, just take it back with me, and you can't.
I'm sure you've spoken to your therapist about this.
Yeah.
What does she say or advise?
She's more of a listener, actually. I don't know if there's, when we were talking about it this week, it was more like, this is the way that you are. She actually said that it was, when I married my husband, it was an interesting choice, because he's also very laid back. He could be on fire and he would not move. Like, he doesn't mind about
crisis. Are you like attracted to that? Someone that's opposite to
you? Well, not normally. And so she thought that I maybe was rebelling against my depression by marrying him. I love him. Just, Joff, I love you.
But imagine if you had somebody similar to you. God.
She said that would be better. Yes, I know. Which I found, actually stopped me.
Would that be because you understand each other?
I think so. I think my high functioning, and that I'm always organising an event. I organize work events. I'm on top of work all the time. I'm this perfectionist that has to, you know, I look like I'm fine all the time. And I think, I don't know. It's a strange one.
I always just thought that, because I'm the same. Craig is, he's laid back until he's not laid back, yeah, as Jeremy said, you know, when he's pissed off. But he's so patient.
Mm.
And I just remember a past boyfriend I had that was not patient. Yeah. I'm not patient. We used to fight all the time. Yeah, yeah. We'd clash.
Mm.
Whereas Craig, he's not. And in one way, I feel that works because if I'm like, ah, you know, he like calms me down a little bit. But then at the same time, negatively, I feel like sometimes he then takes my, like he, you know, he just... not accepts
on
it,
us in
but
class.
He has to take it on.
Yeah.
Upon himself.
I've noticed with my husband recently that his tolerance to my behavior sometimes is weakening, which I worry about. Because,
that would worry you. Would
I worry about it because there used to be a lot of tolerance and a lot of understanding. And I think the more tired we get and the more we have to do things with kids and you don't have that much leeway, I think his tolerance might be waning slightly, which is why I've gone back to therapy and I take medication again, right? Which I had to come off before to have a baby, but I really got on with it and I felt like it kind of helped me to stabilize. So I went back on that recently. I say recently, like 6 months ago, just to kind of rein it in. I was in the impression that I could probably handle it myself because I'd done 18 months without it. Do you know what? Because I had such a bad experience with medication before, I was very skeptical, but... Right. With the experience that I've had with this medication, and I am the same person. It hasn't suppressed any part of me, which is really nice because I am still outrageously, obsessively cleaning and doing stuff like that.
Heaven forbid that ever changes. Like, what would happen to the top of the cupboards?
I know. That's what he says. He goes, you can tell when you're on one, but the house is lovely and clean.
Yeah. Ready for guests.
Yeah, exactly. We're constantly ready.
Oh, that's a bad
I was just going to say, timing. I was thinking of a friend's joke.
She isn't coming. I think that's helped a lot recently that I've gone back on that. And I think because I've seen his tolerance go, I think I recognize that I need to go back to therapy. I need to go back on medication and kind of readdress the situation, which I'm kind of working on to now. But yeah, so I don't want to have this episode that I had before 4 years ago that I think like I was honestly suicidal. Like, I don't think I thought that was it for me. And it sounds so strange now. I was thinking about it on the car on the way over, like, if you look at it on paper, it was such a like a non-situation. It happens to everyone. Everyone breaks up with people.
Yes. Yeah.
But I couldn't function. I didn't go to work. I didn't see friends. I was just a mess. And it was just so painful for me to do that. I just never want to get back to that point again. Yeah. And I think because I got so close to probably... I was really had such suicidal thoughts, which led me to go to therapy and get help because I was like, there's something wrong with me. Like, this is going to be bad. That I don't want to get to that point again. And I'm probably, I have this whole new respect for life, I think, because when you hit that low point and you kind of look like, I always think now, like, I might not actually be here. I might have been here to see all this and to have my baby and my husband. And so after all of that, when I kind of came over at that, and it was a very lonely place, I started a base 3. I started doing exercise, which is when I probably emailed you. And you were honestly the first people, the only people I would see that day, because I had stopped going to work. God bless my boss for keeping me on.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, boss. He's a lovely man, a really nice man. But I was having and I'd come here, and you would be the only people I would see that day. And just in true form to myself, you probably wouldn't know, but the fact that I would walk in the door and you'd say hello to me, that was the only like people contact I would have had that day. And for that whole week. And so it was a really strange time because I would go home and I'd feel great. And then I would have these suicidal thoughts again and I'd become very lonely and I didn't see anyone else. But I had this something in me that I just needed to keep going. And then that came through to therapy and to get medication. And then, yeah.
So how long did that? How long did that take, that process, to sort of get over it sort of thing?
I think about 6 months. And God bless my boss again. He gave me a sabbatical period where I sold everything I owned after I kind of come out of it. I felt very grateful to be alive. If it sounds very dramatic, but I was really grateful that I was here every day. And I sold all my stuff. He gave me a couple months off work and I went to go climb some mountains around the world.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I took my backpack. I had a very dry carry-on.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see everything because it was a really weird, like, euphoric, like, I'm so grateful to be here. I want to see things and I want to experience things and I want to climb that mountain and I want to be on my own. And I kind of just did it as this... When you're so close to kind of like being at the end, I really wanted to just sit with myself for a couple of months. And I did. I met a few friends along the way, but a lot of the time I just spent on my own, just seeing things.
Can I ask, when your ex, when that split, did you ever tell him any of this?
Or yeah. So this he's actually weirdly in a close group of friends with us.
Okay.
And he kind of was aware. I think he was honestly going through his own stuff at the same time. Yeah. I believe he might be depressed as well. And I think, yeah, he was very aware and we were all very aware of it. But he was just in a different headspace than I was. But yeah, so when I had my own time on my own and I came back and I went back to work because my job was still there, thank you. And then I could pick up my life where it was again. And I think that's just given me a whole new like perspective on being alive and having now, especially with a baby.
So you said now that you're essentially worried that your husband...
Yeah.
The patient is wearing thinner and thinner and thinner. Did he know going in that you he sort of felt this way?
So I've been, since I went to therapy, before I would never talk about it. Yeah. It was one of these things, like I said, I'm high functioning, so I was doing well at work, I was doing well in social life, I was always on holiday, I was travelling, organising things, so it wasn't something that people would have recognised.
Yeah.
And once I started going to therapy, the benefit of talking to someone about how I was feeling, it was to my therapist and then my best friend Sarah, she also has a similar thing to I do, also high functioning, top of her game and everything. Yeah. The house is beautifully straight.
She's OCD,
exactly. Yeah. But she had something very similar to me. So I feel like I use her as a lifeline and I think sometimes she reaches out to me as well. And that's that one person, that like canary down the mine that you just know is always there.
Yeah.
And so this whole talking to people has been really beneficial. So I was able to talk to my husband about it, well, my boyfriend at the time.
Mm.
I don't know if he understood the extent of it, and he kind of witnessed it firsthand, but it's at that beginning part of the relationship where you're like, she'll be fine.
Yeah. I'll change
it's
her.
Not forever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll make her happy.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll be the one. Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah.
Does he talk to you about it now?
Do you know what? We've become very busy and I think
it's
something that we need to prioritize. We started doing, it sounds awful. I hate the word date night. But it's actually just to spend like quality time together, whereas that we're not.
Cool.
I think it's I know, but we don't want to call it a date. We don't want to be those people yet.
Special night.
Yeah. Do you know what? We just go out. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Let's just call it that.
Yeah.
But I try and talk about it more because I think that line of communication may have like been a bit thin at the moment. And I think that the more we talk about it, the more that I can. It's hard sometimes with someone that doesn't have depression to kind of let them know what you're feeling. I think they can have a certain level of respect for it and understand it.
They never fully understand.
No, because it's so deep and it's so mighty. Like, if you can imagine that you wanted to end your own life, how does that, you can't try and translate that feeling over to someone else.
Yes.
So much of it doesn't make sense to ourselves either.
No, exactly.
Like,
I don't understand.
Your mind's constantly changing all the time. Right?
Looking back now, I cannot understand why that would have even been something that I was going through, because... Yeah, it wasn't that deep, but it is deep for you. So I think he does try to understand, but I think, there's only a certain way that you can do that. I think that he might have suffered with depression, but in a different way, where it was a one-off episode, whereas I think that's what he expects from me, that I have this one episode and then it's finished. For me, it's going to be a lifelong thing. I come from a history of depression as well. My mom, my granddad, who probably weren't medicated or had the right therapy.
Yeah, and they probably weren't lucky enough to have that type of support then.
And that's a shame. And I can actually see that more now, the more I kind of talk about
it. Like from when you were younger?
Yeah, so I can see how that would have, why they are the people they are.
Imagine having children and not having that support. Like imagine if you were you now raising Pip, but you didn't have a therapist.
No.
You never were on medication.
I know.
Like imagine.
I know.
That's what I was so scared about having children.
I
thought I'd
be
the worst mother ever.
Because I, in a very crude sense, I got screwed up by my mum.
To be clear, we're all going to screw up our kids.
We are. Yeah. But
it's going to happen in one way or another.
She was a special case.
Okay.
You guys are the best. Both
but
of you.
You're so aware of that. And you're so like, wow, this person is my responsibility. And I really have to do the best by her. That this is why I still work really hard and pay a lot of money for therapy, because I just want to make sure that all of the offload that I had from my mum, I don't send that on to her. So that she just hopefully maybe avoids, and I break the cycle slightly.
I feel as though kind of the theme is that you're accepted it.
Yeah.
And that you know that it's going to be part of you for the rest of your life. Mm. And you're kind of setting things up to do the best you can now so that kind of manifests for positive
and I try,
later on.
That's why I want like people that maybe at the beginning of this journey, it's so overwhelming and it's so scary and like a dangerous place to be. And I can speak to you now about it because I'm having like a good day, but there are days where like I go back to the fact that I kind of forget that I'm depressed. I'm like, why am I like this? What's happening? Mm. And this it takes over me.
Well, you're another person.
Yeah,
you kind of are another person.
And I think that's very scary if you're just starting off that like discovery phase of like, what is this? Why is this happening to me? And like a good mix of medication and talking to people.
You say you're quite self-aware. Are you prepared then for like worst case scenarios? Like if
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like you've already mentally prepared for it. Suddenly?
Yeah,
so I feel like I'm like that as well. Like
I think everything, even every situation. I think this is where my anxiety comes in.
Yeah, right. So you've thought
even
about
if it's like driving to a destination. If there's traffic, or how long should I leave, or the basic things like that, or
this
you
is
know,
why I'm always early.
Yeah, I am always early as well. It's horrible, isn't it? Like I'm always on time.
Yeah.
But even like in the future, like I will plan for, and this is where my husband and I differ. Like I will plan financially for the worst case scenario. Whereas he has the opinion that it will be fine.
Yeah.
And that's where we kind of not clash, but are different.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
It's just that control factor again, that I have to be in control of every
outcome.
To
make up
for things that you can't
control. I feel a lot of similarities with her.
Yeah.
I feel.
Nice.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Is there some top things that you could say have helped you most in the past through any depressive episode that you might pass to somebody who's sitting with the dark blanket over them or having a bad day?
I'd say talk to someone about it. It sounds so cliche, and the amount of people that say, well, you need to go talk to someone and you need to go for a walk.
Yeah, it's been our most common answer.
Yeah, but also like get outside.
For a reason though.
Yeah. I don't want to get outside. Yeah. I don't want to be outside. I don't want to move. Like, it's very easy to be like, well, if you exercise, you will feel better.
Yeah.
But to get yourself out of a house and into a gym, or even walking around the streets, is actually a big deal.
I was going to say, you coming into Base 3 is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was a big thing for me. And I was encouraged by my friends here to do something, because I think they recognized I needed to, leave the house. But it's hard. And I still have days now where I just think like, sometimes I can't open the door to delivery drivers, which is just an absolute ridiculous concept. I just can't have that human interaction of someone on the other side of the door. And maybe that's the unknown. And that's things that I still have to explore and try and work out so I don't pass that on to my kid.
So, everybody's going to say what you just said.
Yeah.
Talk to someone, get outside, go to exercise, da da da. You have just said, but I don't want to do that. When you're in that place, you're like, I know what's going to make me feel better, but I don't want to do that. What do you say then to that person?
So the advice that I was given, that, I mean, my therapist has told me a lot of stuff that I probably haven't remembered. Well, one thing that stuck with me was that I have such a negative inner monologue. Like, everything is bad. The world is ending. I am the worst person alive. And it's to talk to yourself as if you were your best friend. So if your friend said that to you and said, I feel like I'm a terrible person, what would you tell them? You'd be like, don't be so ridiculous. You are great. Mm. You are a nice person. You tell them just to not be so stupid about it. And to, you'd be lovely to them. You would give them advice. And it's always, I still have to practice that now, because it doesn't come naturally to me. Inherently, I think, a negative person with this whole, what's the worst case scenario that can happen? And I think if you can just be your own best friend, and okay, so if my friend said, I don't want to exercise and I don't want to leave the house, well, then why don't you at least open the curtains, but get in bed and watch some nice TV shows and order yourself a pizza and just have a day off. And that's what you would tell them. Like, don't put the pressure on yourself, rather than sit there and be like, why can't I do this? Go and have a nap, go and have a bath, or just sit down and watch some TV. Like, it's not going to... And that's what you do. You give yourself some self-care. And I think that's what we forget, is just to be that kind person to ourselves, that we aren't failing.
For the male listeners, the boat, the bath can involve a boat.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be a big enough boat.
And like, you don't have to leave the house that day.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. And like, say for instance, I still have times now where I would have signed up to a gym class and not turned up, and I'll be like, why couldn't I have just gone? It would have been so much better.
Yeah.
And you get your email,
and then
like,
you
missed the boat.
Email from M. Adding on to the adding on to
it's automated.
No, it is automated.
Can I just ask? You don't have to reveal your therapist's name, but the clinic, is that what they call it?
Yeah, so I go to
what's the clinic,
I go to the Free Spirit Collective. It's a new one actually, but my doctor used to be at the Lighthouse, so she's recently transferred
close by.
The Lighthouse is in Jumeirah, and I think the Free Spirit one, which is the one I go to now, is in La Mer.
Okay,
we'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, we're just curious.
Yeah, we're just trying to collect.
And they're really nice places. It's more of a holistic approach. Yeah. They do a lot of, not that I've actually done it, because yoga just isn't my thing. I just don't have the patience or the mind space for it yet. Inshallah,
I always, one of the fears for me about going to a therapist is I'm always afraid that they'll tell me I have to do something that I don't want to do. So if I was like, seeing a girl, the therapist would be like, no, you have to break up with her, she's not good for you.
That's what I thought.
I was just curious, your therapist, when you said you were coming on a podcast, was it fine, was it like,
she was actually
I wouldn't do that, or was it
I mean, I think nothing's off limits, and it's more about I think she just guides me in life, but takes, you know, we're talking about certain life decisions I'm making now. It's like, why don't you just take your time about it? And I said I was coming on this podcast, and I think judging by her face, she was surprised that I was talking about it. She asked about who it was with and what it was for. But then we just had a discussion about it, and I don't think they're there to really make any sort of judgment.
Yeah.
Although she probably does judge me a few times about some of the stuff I've said. Yeah. It's only natural. Yeah. I think sometimes she thinks I'm loony, but that's her job. And do you know what? You can take it or leave it, because she is just in this room that you walk into, you say some things, and you take away what you want from it. Mm. But sometimes, even if I've disagreed with her, which sometimes regularly I do, a couple of days later, you'll be thinking about it when your mind relaxes, and you'll be like, do you know what? Maybe she's right.
I think that's the trick. Yeah. That's what it is then. Because you've even said you've forgotten most of the stuff she's told you, but some things stick. And so those are obviously the things you've taken on board.
And she's my regular. And she's that constant. And she's this lady in a room that I go in. She gives me some lovely pills. And then I go away. And do you know what? I've had a conversation about it.
Do you sit on the bed?
Is that I don't.
It's not one of those cliches.
No, it's not. Okay. Thank God. Because I'm not that.
Yeah.
But it's all right. I would recommend it. It's something that, if you know me, would just be something that is just completely against everything that I am normally like. But I'm a big advocate for it now. Now I've tried it, and now I got, basically, it sounds really cliche again, but I got my life back, and I have this little baby that I love, and I just think, like, I'm so grateful for everything I have now, and I can even have dark days, but I know that they're not forever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sometimes a bit sad that you do have to feel that way. Like, it's why can't I just be as happy as everyone else? But then you have to realize that most people are going through stuff all the time anyway. And this is actually one last thing that's really interesting. Actually, I forgot that she told me on Tuesday, was that I have to be a little bit grateful for the fact that I am, I mean, mental's the wrong word, very uptight and regulated and in control of everything, because essentially I've made a very successful career out of it as well. My job is to, like, regulate the cities and the environments, and that's what I do. And she was like, you kind of have to be thankful that that's kind of led you down this career path. And that,
absolutely.
It's a weird thing, because I didn't even put two and two together, but I sit there and I write policy and regulate things and make sure that people do the right thing. And that makes me kind of really good at my job.
Is silver lining the right word for that?
Yes, absolutely.
Silver lining.
Yeah, something good comes out of everything. Yeah, it is. So that's kind of like your superpower.
So I have and I really enjoy my job, because I get to control a lot of people and do a lot and make them do things. So that's kind of led me down the path of where I am now. And if it's where I am right now, then I have to kind of be grateful for it that I have.
No, you have to be grateful for it.
Yeah.
Of course, you're not going to give yourself the credit of being like, well, I'm doing so well in my life because of this thing. You'd never give yourself that credit. So you must take
that. People overcome so much stuff. And actually, if you just kind of get through the dark days, then you'll find yourself at the top of a mountain being like, breathing in some air and thinking, yeah, it's all right. We made it.
That's why I'm so controlling. Yeah. Anyways, so many thoughts coming around. Like, it's so good talking to other people about this. So I guess, first, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me. This is probably therapy for me as well. I hope I didn't offload too much.
No, it's good.
I need to go take a good hard look at my top of my cupboards. So I think that talk to people.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, be your own best friend.
Yeah.
I think that was like that a really nice thing that came like out. All right. Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Black Dog Diaries, and thank you so much for sharing your journey, Jess. I think it's so admirable that Jess is able to understand and articulate her feelings and emotions so well. I know she's going to put it all down to therapy, which is the facilitator, but it's mostly down to Jess committing herself to the really difficult process of challenging her beliefs and of continual self-reflection and discovery. Because none of this happens automatically. I think with physical injuries, we trust that our body will heal itself over time without any extra thought. But that doesn't usually happen with psychological injuries or illness. This chat reminds me that in the same way we go on a training program to maintain good physical form, we should also pursue some sort of maintenance program for our mental form. For Jess right now, this means ongoing therapy, a lot of self-work, and meds. For you, it might not be as extreme. It might just mean ongoing activities that mitigate chronic stress, like meditation, journaling, or pursuing a hobby that allows you to step away from your overwhelming life responsibilities. Regardless of whether you have a mental illness or not, mental health affects everyone and needs your TLC. I hope that helps. As you go off into your days, please remember to do something good for your mental health and to keep an eye on the mental health of your friends and family. Peace.